Now, as you have noticed, we're not just trying to get the letters correctly. It's important when it's relevant that we do that. We will do it. But more importantly, as we flow through the scriptures, we are trying to get the mind of God in all these things. Let me just explain something to us here as I start this teaching in this Genesis chapter 23. There was a reason why God had these things recorded. Are you getting me? Now, the Bible says to us, Paul said it twice. He said that these things were recorded both in Corinth and in Romans and 1 Corinthians. He said they were recorded for our learning. We upon whom the end of the age has come. And let me explain the meaning of that word, the end of the age. That is the importance of the fact that it was recorded for our learning. The reason is that, you see, they say that those that don't know history, in them, history repeats itself. You've heard that thing before. That is, if you don't know that people who did this was what happened to them, you end up repeating exactly what they did that killed them. And I see that a lot. You know, you heard me say this one before, that sometimes when I see preachers and they are doing some things, I wonder whether something is wrong with their head that apparently they haven't read. If they had read, they would have known that people who behave like this, they don't last in ministry, they don't live long physically in life. Therefore, I know that ignorance is a major part in when people misbehave. Now, because of that, now experiences, if you see the way science has worked, in fact, most of us have heard of Thomas Edison. He was one of the greatest inventors that ever lived in the world. He invented so many things, right? At least two that we know very well. One we see you still today is the incandescent bulb. That bulb out there was invented by Thomas Edison. Till today, only very little improvement has been made on it, all right? And did that quite some time ago. Now, they said the man, when he was invented the incandescent bulb, he tested it several thousands of times. I don't know for sure the exact number of times. I've heard different things. Now, but we know that it was several thousands of times. They said, they asked the man, how come you were so patient and you endured so much that you tested the thing so many times before it finally worked? He said, no, I didn't find out. Now, what he was saying is that it wasn't like we're waiting for it to work. He said, we're discovering the many ways it wouldn't work. Do you get what I'm saying? That's what's for him. Anyone we tried and it didn't work, we know that that's one way that is sure that it did not work. Now, you have to understand something. A good scientist will have taken note of each one that they tried and did not work. Otherwise, after you've tried it like 200 times, you will go back again and start going around in circles. So you will take note of those times you did it and it didn't work, so that there will be no risk of doing that same thing again, because it will be pure madness for you to think you will do it again and it will work when it didn't work the first time. Are you getting what I'm saying? So in the same manner, just put that in mind and it will help you understand why God had Moses write these things down. Because he wanted them to understand how the earth is supposed to function, how spiritual things work. And I've said this so many times, and I can't say it enough. Life is basically spiritual. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, what you see physically in life is a manifestation of that which exists in the spirit. Now, so God began to give Moses revelation to record these things so that people will understand how the earth is supposed to work. Even when God made modifications, for example, under the laws of Moses, Jesus told us later that there was a modification of the natural order so that people would just agree to walk with God without any quarrel. For example, he told them, you can divorce your wives. And Jesus said it was not like that in the beginning. He said that was a modification to fit the hardness of your heart. So when such modifications will occur, God still gave us a history of what was beforehand so that we will not make the modification a permanent law. That is, once we find out that our hearts are no longer hard, then we drop that law of Moses, which says that we can divorce our wives. We know that, no, in the beginning, it was not so. Are you getting my point? Therefore, it's relevant. It's crucial to our succeeding in life that we go through everything that Moses recorded for our learning. Are you getting me? Because otherwise, we will start making the same mistakes, all right, that people made before. Like I always say, the life of Solomon. Solomon presented his body as a living sacrifice. What do I mean? He made his life an experiment. For example, if I say this to make you laugh, Solomon drank alcohol Solomon drank and became drunk. He staggered from the effect of wine. At the end of the day, he says vanity. He says it's a waste of time. Billy Graham said when he was a young boy, when Americans liberated, that is when they removed the prohibition law on the distribution of alcohol, production and distribution of alcohol, when people could now easily get alcoholic drinks any way they wanted it. His father was afraid that his children, of course, naturally didn't want the children to become alcoholics and start drinking. So Billy Graham said the man went out, bought beer, brought all his children to the kitchen, sat them down and served them beer, and said they should drink. And they drank. And he said, do you like that? And they said, no, it has an awful taste. He said, very good. From now on, you won't drink. But if somebody asks you, why are you not drinking? Say, I tasted it. It's not nice. So I'm not drinking. Because, you know, no, the man got them very well with that. He gave them the drink. Now, when you go out, as a young man, you go out. Peer pressure will come in. Tell your friends, is it beer? I drank it. I don't like it. Don't call me daddy's boy. I drank it. I don't know why you are drinking it. It has a foul taste. For example, I don't drink stout, personally. It's not on religious reasons at all. I've tasted a number of times in my life, and I still can't understand why people drink it. Oh, God. Solomon's life was an experiment. Okay, what did Jesus was going to give us a death? It was because I worked those days in Lagos. The security guard in the hospital, one old man, the man said that he doesn't smoke, that he used to smoke Indian hemp as a young man. When you know the man, you know the guy was a ruffian as a boy. And that, why did he stop? He said anytime he smoked, he became stupid. That if you slap him like this, he would just smile. And that he knew what was going on, but he couldn't help it. So he stopped smoking. He said, this is not necessary. That's, I mean, wee-wee. I don't mean cigarette. I mean, mukui. I mean, people say that fella was bold. I said, if you to smoke, Igbo, you go waka naked. It's not, for a man who has smoked, to remove pata is not hard. Oh, God. What I'm trying to say is that these are the things that Solomon did. All right? No, really. Solomon said, I checked out how to stimulate my body with wine. That's what I'm amplifying for you to see. That is, that was a type of drugs. That is, what effect will chemicals have on my brain? So at the end of the day, he said, this thing is a waste of time. It's pure folly. Please excuse me. I don't think I want to get involved in it. Now, after experiencing all those things, he now recorded them so that when you will come later, you will not waste your time trying to experiment. Do you follow my point? That is, no matter how much I don't like my wife, you know what I mean, quote, maybe she annoyed me. No matter how much I like other women that are not my wife, I won't marry more than one. Because Solomon married plenty and said, bros, come, it's a waste of time. Let me just warn you. Are you following my point? Without experiencing it, I take the word of Solomon as true. Say, bros, thank you very much. Solomon said, I gathered for myself the pleasures of all men, many concubines. At the end, he said, vanity upon vanity. I have found out that there is nothing better than for a man to rejoice with the wife of his youth. You get my point? So why should I marry three wives? So to discover what I could have told, what I was told at the beginning, which I refused to imbibe. I tell people, stop trying to learn from experience. Some experiences don't give you a second chance. When you go near a NEPA installation and they say danger, believe them. Because if you want to find out whether it's real danger, it's your children that won't try it again. You're gone. You're getting the logic. And that's why we are taking time out to look through the scriptures so that we will understand how to walk with God. Because I said something to us a few weeks ago, that God doesn't bless people despite all their failings and all of that. That is, David had failings. Listen, it affected the amount of God he could experience. Do you get my point? That is, when God wants to bless you plenty, he has to remove certain things. That was why he did not bless Jacob early. Jacob suffered for a long time that God might convert him. It was conversion process. Isaac didn't suffer so long because he was well converted from the beginning. But Jacob suffered and suffered. What God was doing was converting him. So on his way back, God now showed him, said, do you know what we've been doing all the while? Let me show you. Let's start wrestling. So God said, this is what I've been doing with you for the last 20 years. Wrestling. You will not just agree. Are you getting my point? God was telling him, but boy, you're just too stubborn. So the man had to suffer to be able to inherit the promises of God. And we are learning what to do and what not to do so that we might inherit the promises of God. Are you getting my point? And that's why we are going to the scriptures like this. We'll go through Genesis. Why did God create everything? What was he achieving? I mean, between Genesis creation and Abraham, we saw how God drew the thing down. You know, a friend of mine called me yesterday from the U.S. And he said, look, I don't know what's wrong with the black man. I said, I know. He said, what? I said, cursed be Canaan. I said, it was not only Canaan. It was also cursed be Ham. And cursed be Mizraim. I said, do you get the point? I said, that's why they are misbehaving. I said, a servant of servants. So when God gives them natural resources, the white man will find his way down and collect it. Do you know who sold slaves to the slave traders? It was the same Africans that they met there. I said, you have to do some things. You see, curses are funny. They don't just hang in the air and start affecting you. No, they hang in the air, and then you stretch your hand and touch it, and then it's like lightning. It now gets conducted into your system. So those who are cursed, what happens is that the events of life compel them. Lack of instruction compels them to start touching curses, and it's being downloaded into their system. Do you follow my point? So those who are blessed also, for example, the descendants of Jacob, they were blessed people, all right? Because of the covenant that started with Abraham, down to Isaac, and that was upon Jacob. But God told them, wait, oh. He said, yes, sir. Did you hear me? If you do what they did, the same judgment they experienced, you will experience it. So that you can experience my blessing, please don't do what they did. Are you following my point? That is, we have established that God may have given us promises. There are many promises. Yet, for them to come, there are things that people must do and there are things they must avoid doing. And that's why we are studying the scriptures like we are studying. Do you get what I've said so far? All right. Now, let's kick on. Now, let's begin to read now. Now, because of time and there's not so much to read in chapter 23, I will summarize essentially what is there and bring out a point, then we'll go into 24. In Genesis chapter 23, what was recorded essentially was the death and burial of Sarah. Now Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah, the Bible says. Died in Kiriat Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Then Abraham rose from before his dead and spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, I'm a stranger and sojourner among you. Give me a burial site among you that I may bury my dead out of my sight. Now, please, what I want you to understand here is that he was asking for a place to bury Sarah. And then the people offered him, they said, look, take anything you want. But he said, if you read that, I don't want to spend so much time. He said, thank you very much, but please, do you mind if I paid you for what you are giving me? All right? And the man said, all right, this land that I'm giving you is worth 400 shekels of silver. And then Abraham weighed it out. If you read verse 15, my Lord, listen to me. A piece of land worth 400 shekels of silver, what is that between me and you? So bury your dead. That's what the man, he was saying, like, why are you bothering to pay? But Abraham went ahead and weighed out for Ephron the silver which he had named in the hearing of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, commercial standard. Now, that's what I want to just bring out here, because he now went ahead and buried his wife, all right, which he buried in Hebron, in the land of Canaan. This is the point I want you to understand. God had promised to Abraham that he will give him that land and give his descendants. Do you get my point? There's a reason why I'm saying this. I said before, God doesn't break laws. He follows due process. You know what they call due process? If God says that, I promise you, this house opposite there, I will give to you. What Christians think faith is that they will walk in there, knock on the gate, and say, bros, now they live for here. Say, yes. Now begin park. The guy looks at this crazy man. Say, what do you mean park? The Lord said the house is mine. I'm like, sir, please, did we quarrel before? Please explain. No. Because here I have my documents. If the person is a tenant, look, I paid. Is the landlord not the true landlord? You guys wondering. The brother says, no, the Lord said, this land I have given you. So I have come to take it. What am I trying to explain? God had told this man, this land I will give to you and your descendants. A father of many nations I have made thee. And Abraham became great. In all of that, the very land that God said, walk about, because this land is your own. Yet when he wanted to bury his dead, he did what was right. He followed due process. God had not converted the land in reality to into his possession. Therefore, the man took money and bought it legitimately. I just want to highlight that thing before we go on. So the brother that God said, I'll give you that house there. Listen, this is how God does it. before you go harassing innocent people living in their homes, all right? You should understand that God doesn't give you houses like that. What he does is that after you have claimed the house, while the people are not looking, you gently go and walk around their fence and say that, I have possessed it. Fine. The day of possession, you shall come with cash. Are you getting the point I'm making? The day of possession, the land will be legally transferred to you. Are you following the point I'm making? Because, you see, I've heard people say things like, you see, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Therefore, I've heard people say that that's why you should do business. Maybe you want to do business and you have a friend who is a rogue, is a thief, all right? You now say that, okay, I mean, he's a 419 man. He should come and join hands with you and do business. Listen, even though the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, it's not transferred like that. Are you getting my point? The transfer process will be legal and legitimate. It will not break moral codes. It will not break the laws of God. I want you to understand this point. Because people, you know, we find money that somebody forgot on the road. They say it's blessing from God. I mean, you saw $10,000. You should know that, no, look, angels don't mint dollars. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? What a good human being will do is to carry the money, hide it, and go and report somewhere. There's an unspecified amount of money missing. If it is yours, please come and prove it is yours so we might give it to you. A friend of mine told me something that happened once. It came to me, he said, Banky, what's going on with this brethren? They don't know anything these days. I said, what happened? He said, in his church, one brother came to testify. Praise the Lord, anybody has a testimony to the glory of God this morning? And the guy put up his hand. And he came forward. Praise God. Two of them, Brother A and Brother B, they went inside the bus. And they checked their pocket and they found out that they didn't have enough money to pay for two people. And then they sat down and began to pray and claim money, you know, that God will help them. Say, Brennan, do you know that when the conductor was collecting money, he collected from one person and forgot to collect from the other person? And the brother wanted to, he said, now listen, you know, year two, the one giving testimony and his friend, real gist. He said, the other guy now said, wanted to remind the conductor, say, look, oh, we haven't paid though, and this is the reason. He said, he stopped him, like, why are you stopping the blessing of God? Why are you hindering the miracle that they call? And this friend was like, no, this is not right. I mean, this is an oversight on the part of this man. The guy said, look, we don't have the money, so it is a miracle. My friend was like the assistant part of the church. He came and said, what is going on with this young man these days? That the man was coming to testify. He didn't know what he was doing was wrong. I'm not even something. When God wants to do a miracle, that's against moral order. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If you read this book, The Midas Touch, and I think you should read it, you know, that's Kenneth Hagin, The Midas Touch. Is that the name of the book? Yeah, The Midas Touch. It's a book on prosperity. And because of experience, and this works a lot, not just the spirit is very important, but like John said, that which we have heard, seen, all right, and then we have handled, that's what I want to bring out from there. Experience allows you to handle things. Kenneth Hagin handled a lot of things, and therefore he could balance a lot of teachings. Midas Touch was a balance on prosperity. He said that people preach all kinds of things. You know, I've been warning you about it. This is not just me. He said that he doesn't understand the kind of messages they preach on TV. He watches TV, and a man is preaching, you sow a seed for supernatural debt cancellation. And he's looking like, what? Please explain. That you are owing. You use a credit card or you took loans from the bank. Now you are owing $50,000. And you are believing God for supernatural debt cancellation. Kenegan said, even if the people forgot to ask you for their money, a good Christian will go up there and say, sir, please be patient with me. I will pay. Then he doesn't understand this false doctrine of supernatural, that the people just forget to ask for their money. If they walk up to you and say, the Lord spoke to us to forgive you of your debt, you know it's possible. It's unlikely to happen, but let's assume it happens. That is a different matter. But that if they just sat down and they forgot to ask you, that a good Christian should just say, please, oh, I know I'm owing you 50,000. All right? And give me time. I will pay. That the miracle that God will work for you are getting the point, is that he will show you favor. The people may reschedule your debt. They may drop your interest rate. They may do things. They may write off some. Maybe they tell you that, okay, if you can pay $20,000 within the first 2 years, we'll write off $10,000. That those are the things that God will do for you, not that somebody will just forget to... You get what I'm saying? Now, what I'm explaining from here is that though God was giving that land to Abraham, he obtained it legitimately. Are you getting my point? Look, if it is today, that the nation of Israel wanted to go into the promised land, do you know they will use a different order than was? What I'm saying, I'm very serious about that. Now, if you invade a country and take over their land, the rest of the international community, they no go agree for you. This day and age, there are other ways you do such things. In the United States of America, they bought Alaska. You've heard of Alaska? Alaska was bought with money. You are getting the point I'm making? So in life, every blessing that God will bring to you, he will bring it legitimately. Alright? Angels don't meet money. If you find $10,000 on the road, somebody lost it. In Christian integrity, take it, keep it, announce that an unspecified amount of money is missing. Somebody, please, come and claim. Don't even tell them the currency. Let the person walk up and say, it is $10,000, it is mine. And then, are you getting what I'm ready to say? Don't say, this is breakthrough from the Lord. Let's just bless it, cleanse it with, in case it's blood money, we'll cleanse it with bigger blood. Ever since I heard that, I've not recovered. Oh my God, the Lord is good. I hope you have understood that. All right, let me leave that and go on to Genesis chapter 24. Then now Abraham was old, advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in every way. I just want to say something about that. Don't you think we should say something about that? Abraham was old, advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in every way. First caution, most people want to be young and very young in age, and the Lord has blessed them in every way. Listen, brethren, again, look, I know my gospel may not be popular. Somebody wants to preach an urgent breakthrough for you. It's not me. Do you follow my point? You know, I'm not going to read to you. I'm going to say, brethren, don't worry. Right now, look, if you achieve everything, now that you're only 25. So what is left? You may just go die when you're 26. Let me so. Who's praying to die a year after now? Nobody. you see, this is so important. One of the things that people didn't understand about faith was that they didn't teach enough, or people refused to hear it, about faith and patience. Are you following my point? That is, all these things we talk about. You know, today I was thinking about it. I was thinking about Kingdom Word Ministries. Kingdom Word Ministries, that is, this work that we do here, the materials, CDs, and everything. And all right? Now, I was just discussing, and then something came to my mind. That, do you know, we rented this hall about almost 5 years now. No, 4 years ago. Yeah, over 4 years. So I was just thinking, as I was walking around earlier before people came, I said, now, wow. That all we have just been doing is dedicatedly teaching the word. Are you getting my point? And I'm just watching things growing. And you know one thing I said on Saturday? When I was driving to work today, the thing didn't leave my mind. I spent all the time from my house to my office thinking about how I would spend 12 billion naira. I'm very, very serious. I spent all the time thinking. I told you before, there is nothing like that I have imagined constantly that doesn't come to pass. I have at least 4 people queued up now to give to Kingdom World Ministries 1 billion naira. They don't have it yet, you can be sure of that. Just by the way, I stayed up late last night praying for them. Not the 4 people, all the people. Believe me, spiritually, I said they will be empowered. I will be the priest, you know what I mean, in Israel, waiting to receive the sacrifices. I am serious. Oh, my God. I am absolutely certain. I have thought about it. You know, something helped me. I converted $1 billion in Naira to U.S. dollars of today. As much. People have been giving things like that. Come on. They will do it. Most certainly. You know, you can be sure that by next year, I'll begin to consider it too small. That's today, as I was driving to work, I was wondering, okay, cost of satellite transmission. We'll have a big media center. My mind was working and working. I said, we are not doing any trade. You know, we won't say now we have so much money. Let's go and buy stocks in one bank and take over a bank. It's not our assignment. It's those brethren. If I tell you this, it will make you laugh, and it's going to happen. I imagine that I will say that after we start our satellite network, satellite TV, I will go up to DSTV and say, include it in your bouquet. And they will look and say, why? I will say, because it is good for you and I need it. Include it in your bouquet. And they will say, sorry. And I was, this is my imagination this morning. And I will look at them and say, listen, are you daring me? I say, listen, I'm giving you 24 hours to make up your mind. If you don't, I will run you out of the market. And the guy will look and say, you think you can? And you know, I was thinking about it in my mind. Now, to tell you that I will not because I have money, no. That there and then, I'll just take my phone, call one of the guys, one of the people giving you 1 billion naira. Let's assume the person's name is Fred, Maybe the person's name is Angela, And just say, Angie, how are you? How's your husband? All right, call him for me. Please, guys, I'm right here in DSTV office. They are irritating me. I want you to run them out of the market. And they'll say, yes, sir. And I'll hang up the phone. Tell this man, you just lost your job. You just lost your customers. No, and I mean what I'm saying. Really. What they will just do is that launch out into the market, they look, get their own list of stations, and give out free decoders and charge 500 naira a month. I say, see, I warned you. And you know the interesting part? No, I told you that these transactions will be legal. DSTV will look at it and say, sir, we are very sorry. I say, it's too late. I offered you the best right. You see, you sold it. Somebody, listen to me. Oh, that's how powerful I am going to be on earth. I will not be the one to do it. I don't have that time. The closest to me that would do is probably my wife. You get my point. I refuse to give myself a headache of what is the share price of what's the name of that your company? You are not starting one. You guys are not dreaming yet. Look at these people. No, you want to buy one though, or you want to make your own? Listen. Let me tell you something. I'm serious about what I'm saying. Do you know before my wife conceived for the first time, I named my first son Akinlu David. I named my second son Olugbenga Daniel. And my third son, if I have another son, his Yoruba name will be Olusegun. Nothing to do with the current president. It's just that Olusegun means the Lord has conquered. The victorious God. That's what it means. That's what I'm thinking about. If you are sitting down there, you have not named your companies now, I don't think you are very serious. I say you don't plan to start one. If you're a preacher like me, what's the name of your ministry? Go ahead. Do you get my point? You can modify it later, but have one now. Are you getting the point I'm making? In fact, forget even if I can call my son. I tell DSV, I say, this boy, he's going to kick you guys out of the market. What is the offense? We wanted to preach the gospel on your bouquet and you refused. Now, why am I saying these things? I was imagining it. Kingdom World Ministries officially started maybe about the year 2001. That would make it the sixth year now. As at this convention that I went for, the sixth year. I am not in a hurry. When I say I'm not in a hurry, it's not that we are slack. But I know for certain. Now, we are only preaching on Cosmo FM. Look at the person who wants to be terrorizing people like DSTV. He's only preaching on Cosmo FM. But back to our scripture. Now, Abraham was old, advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in every way. So you get my point. I am not in a hurry. We are growing. We are not yet old and advanced in age. So we know for certain that God will most certainly do things. You're competing with your ULEV school last year. Your friends are now driving brand new Toyota Avensis. So? God doesn't owe you much yet until you are old. No, listen. It's when you look back, you will know exactly what God did for you in this season. Are you getting the point I'm making? Look, God will walk. Believe me, I believe that thing very, 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 absolutely. That's why we are studying the scriptures. Because what we are trying to see, God told them that, look, I'm taking you out of the Egypt. I'm taking you out of Egypt into the promised land. Now, these are the laws by which you will operate that you might live long in that land. Are you getting the point? So when God is taking people out from one place to another place, he starts teaching them early the laws they will operate so that the blessing will endure upon them. I don't believe I'm wasting my time. No. These words that I'm preaching, they can't go anywhere until they are fully fulfilled. Are you getting my point? Now let's get down into the rest of the chapter 24. I just felt like emphasizing that. He said, Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he owned. Now place your hand under my thigh that he was going to take an oath. And what was it? He said, I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of Canaan, among which I live. But you go to my country and to my relatives and take a wife for my son Isaac. Just by the way, if you go back, take a few steps backward. We won't talk about it. You see, at the end of Genesis chapter 22, you see that there, I told you before that these stories were written around Abraham from creation to this point. You see that an analysis was made there of the relationship between Rebekah and Abraham. If you can look at that from verse 20. We're talking about now Milcah also had born children unto your brother Nahor. And then he talked about how that person was related to this and this and that. And where Rebekah came in. Verse 23, you see. Alright? So I just wanted to bring that one out. These scriptures, they had a purpose when they were being written. Alright? Now, so he told him, make sure you go and take a wife from amongst my relatives. All right? And that's in verse 4. And the servant said to him, suppose the woman is not willing to follow me to this land. Shall I take your son back to the land from where you came? The man said, no. Listen, you will not take my son back because the promise of God is more important than that wife. I don't know whether you are getting my point. That if the woman will not come, then you are free from the oath. That is, Abraham was making something clear. That the walk with God and the promise of God is more important than the man taking a wife in life. That's essentially what he was saying. Now, what we want to see here actually is how this man went and got a wife for Isaac. Now, it's a very long story, so we'll not read it, but that's essentially what is written in Genesis chapter 24. In fact, my Bible titles it, A Bride for Isaac. And in verse 15, it says, Rebekah is chosen. Now, a number of things I will emphasize here. Let's just quickly run through what happened. The man traveled down. Before he went, his master blessed him and said that the Lord, the God of heaven, verse 7, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my birth, and who spoke to me and who swore to me, saying, to your descendants I will give this land, he will send his angel before you, and you will take a wife for my son from there. Now, if you notice something here, just something we have to understand in life. First, you must define your standards, all right? Before things agree to cooperate with you. Because one of the things that happens in life is that temptations come to want to make you change your standards. This is what I'm trying to say. Abraham was emphasizing on the promise of God. Are you getting that point? And then, so they said that what if the woman will not want to come? The first said, let us start from there. One, you're not going back. Under any circumstance, will you take my son to go back to where his wife is staying? I hope you are following my point. But having said that, he now went ahead to explain. But don't worry. The angel of God will go and help you. Please notice this. Before he said that God will make that thing happen, he first drew a line. That even if God doesn't do it, we are not crossing this line. You are following the point I'm making? In life, you must set those kind of standards. Those are the things that show that you are really working with God. It's not that it became necessary. Otherwise, you know, the young man had to take a wife. The man told him, look, God can refuse to help you. Fine. But this guy is not going back there. Because God told us to leave that place and come here. We're in the place of God's appointment. There's no exigencies now that will now make us relocate back to where we forsook. You are getting what I'm saying? All right. Now, let me just go on. I'll develop some things more there. So after they made that, they set that important boundary, he now prayed. He said, God will send his angel and they will help you. What I want to address today, actually, there are a number of things. Because you see that what he was saying in effect is that it is God that's going to choose the wife. It's not you. That's number one. There are two CDs I have of Derek Prince on marriage. One is Let God Choose Your Mate or something like that. Derek Prince was teaching about how God chooses mates for people. People have said things like, does God ordain one man to marry one woman? And it's basically, essentially, the answer is yes. Basically, essentially, the answer is yes. So what you are doing, like I said to us on Saturday, that, see, you really cannot think ahead of God. You only think you can. Do you get my point? I'll see people tell me that, look, you will bring the husband you find or the wife you find, and you bring for God to approve. Listen, that's how it appears in your eyes. In the eyes of God, these people did not know where they were going, all right? But God had gone there ahead of them. So in the eyes of God, he's the one that is choosing your inheritance for you. Why I'm saying this thing is that, you see, you must have a kind of mindset in everything you are doing. It's when you understand things like this that you don't, it doesn't hurt you. When somebody refuses to marry you, it becomes what? A discovery. See, I thought you were the one. Now I found out that you are not the one. All right. There's no need to be angry. Do you follow my point? I thought you were the one. Obviously, I was mistaken. It's when you thought that it was your decision to make to persuade the woman, to woo the woman and show her, and or to attract the man and do the things necessary to ensure that he comes to the place where God cannot put a stamp of approval. That's when you get angry and you get offended. You start wondering that, what is wrong with me? Is there something wrong with me? How come? The first three women I proposed to, they just said no, like that. There must be something wrong with me. You sniff your shirt. There is nothing wrong with you. Are you getting my point? If it happens like that, just understand that it's a revelation. That they are not the one. Do you follow my point? When Samuel got to the house of Jesse, first one, the Lord said no. Was he angry with the man? What was it? He just discovered that he wasn't the one. It's a discovery. Then, after that one, the next one came. No, there's no anger. That one went. And they kept on going until everybody finished. When each one failed, it was a revelation that it is not that one. Are you getting the point I'm making here? Now, please, the next point I want us to understand from here is that, let's continue, because of time, I don't want to read everything. It's a story we all know, I believe, and if we don't know it already, please go and read the story and try and know the story. All right, so I said that I don't want to read all the stories, but then I'm just highlighting something. So there he said that point, and then the man now took off. Now, Abraham was a very wealthy man. So when his servant was going, he took a lot of money with him. All right? And he prayed a prayer in verse 12. He said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show loving kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Please notice verse 14. This was after he got down to where he was going, actually. Notice verse 14. Now, please, I want you to notice this as I read it, because it's just to prove the point I have made. He said, now may it be that the girl to whom I say, please let down your jar so that I may drink, and who answers, drink, and I will water your camels also. May she be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown loving kindness to my master. Please, I want you to understand something here, because this has raised a lot of questions amongst New Testament Christians, of course, believers. They say that it is wrong to lay fleeces before God. Some say, is it right? Some have said categorically that it is wrong to fleece. You know what it means to fleece? It's very simple. For those who don't know, let me quickly clarify. What this man was saying is something like a fleece. He said that, now I will say this, in fact, it's even worse than a fleece. I'll tell you what I mean by fleece. Because a fleece, the origin of fleece, as you know, was from Gideon. Gideon wanted to know that, God, are you the one sending me? He said, okay, let me put this skin of a sheep, the fleece, all right? Wool, put it on the floor, and then let rain fall all around and not fall on it. Then I'll know you are the one. So the man went away and came back, and rain fell everywhere. That one was dry. He said, God, no, that's not enough. This time around, let dew settle on the fleece and the remaining area be dry. And then God obliged the guy. You know, the guy was still afraid. God finally told him, that, okay, go to the camp of the Midianites and you will hear something that will encourage your heart. And he found two men discussing. And one of them said, man, I had a dream. What's the dream? He said, a loaf of bread just fell upon the camp and we all died inside. Ha! That one said, the loaf of bread, it is Gideon. It is Gideon. That small fry is about to come and fry us. Are you getting me? And Gideon was very encouraged and he left. Now, but let's get back to the matter of fleecing. That's the origin of fleecing. So people ask things like, okay, when I get to class today, let the lecturer come wearing a white shirt. Then I will know that it's the will of God that I take this particular course next semester. All right? because this man's, I heard his course is very, very difficult. If it is the will of God that I should take it, let him come today wearing a white shirt with red stripes. And if he comes like that, I know it's the will of God. And then the man comes to shake class wearing white shirt and yellow stripes. And they say, Lord, did you get the color right? I said red. No. So Christians say that no, it's not right. It is in the spirit of a man that a man discovers what God is saying. You know, let me summarize like this. I don't want to teach on how to be led by the Spirit now. But let me summarize like this. There is no absolutely yes or no in that question. To that question as an answer. There is none. They said fleecing was Old Testament is not true. It's very close to casting lots for your information. And in the New Testament, people cast lots. Are you getting the point? I'm not going to discuss that in details. But it's not, again, as easy to use as people try to use it. Because the problem with people sometimes is that they are hiding. They know what they should do, like I said last time, but they don't want to do it. Remember the story I told you about somebody looking for counseling? Who knew what the correct godly answer was? If you fleece when you have the knowledge of the truth, you are looking for trouble. But listen, when indeed you have exhausted yourself and God looks at the integrity of your heart and you are prompted to give a reasonable fleece, it also works. Believe me, it works. Let me give you an example. This will make you laugh. The day I finally asked my wife to marry me officially, I was surprised. I thought that the signals were very clear. You know, Olayinka, where you did? Uh-huh. An experienced man like me. You know, you know when the signal is positive. Do you get my point? But then when I was traveling, I bought a ring. I mean, I had reason. I'm not an idiot now. You get what I'm trying to say? Except that she just lost liver at the last minute. Courage failed her. You know what I'm trying to say? You know what I mean to lose liver? Just lost heart. So I was so angry and disappointed. I just said, please, I'm going back to Lagos from whence I came forth. And I carried my bag and I began to go. My friend actually took me to the park. I was about to leave. And she prayed a simple prayer that, God, if he does not go, then I will marry him. Are you getting the point? Then later that evening, she got a phone call that showed that I didn't go. Of course, I got to the park. All the bosses said, where are you going? Hey, we don't have space again. So as soon as I got to one or two stations and they would talk like that, I knew it was the will of God. I didn't go anywhere. So I carried my bag and went back to my friend's house, which is my toasting base. Do you understand my point? My friend's house. Now, I'm bringing out something here. That you see, you don't just please anyhow like God. If you want me to eat spaghetti this morning, let that door open to the left. No, there are things that are just pure foolish. Even God will answer you. That you don't have work. You'll be asking whether you should eat spaghetti. Okay, don't eat spaghetti now. You get what I'm trying to say. He said, look, are you idiot? How can the door open to the left? Can't you see where the hinge is? You want me to break it, Shay? Now, those are the unreasonable things that people do that make Christians say that it is not right. In the same manner, you shouldn't check your spirit when you know what to do. In fact, in my opinion, most times don't check your spirit. When it is wrong, the spirit will speak up. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? I mean, when you wake up in the morning, you say, Lord, should I fry egg this morning? Let me check my spirit. The Lord said potato. Oh, God. All those things. Now, if you wake up for morning, if na egg, they hungry you. Buy egg. Put them on fire. Which one is praying about egg? If you are broke, be honest that I would like to chop egg, but are you getting my point? Don't say that you will be praying over whether you should eat egg or you shouldn't eat egg. Those are the things that make this very ridiculous. But if you look at the situation, this man's situation here, I mean, he needed that thing. And look, as a Christian, don't say that you will get there and your spirit will tell you. Your spirit is not going to tell you anything. You see, you have never been confused and confounded. That's why you think your spirit is very loud. I say this all the time. God is very kind. When he was going to deliver Lot, and Lot was wasting time, the angel took him by force and led him on by force. They didn't say, you see, we have warned you. We are going to smoke you with demo. When the man was wasting time, they took him by the hand and forcefully ejected him. I mean, that's how kind God is. Are you getting my point? When he says that he will direct your steps or direct your path, what he was saying, like if you get to a junction, I've said this as an illustration before. You have come to that junction in the integrity of your heart. You have tried your best. That's how you got to a junction. And there are four roads. Lord, which one do I take? There are many ways God will let you know which one to take. Number one of the ways is that inside your heart, you may hear a word, all right, that says go left. It happens. But that's not even very common. More likely, what you will do is that you will get there, you will turn right, and you will see road closed, construction works. That road is closed. That's what it means. Then you want to go straight, you will see one way, no entry. Abi, how many remain? Left. And you turn to the left, and it is open, and you can go on it. Even if it's rough, you know this is the one you should enter. Do you get my point? Listen, you are a good Christian man, because this is the interesting part here. The criteria, all right, or the major criterion that he gave was that they had a relationship, all right? And in the Christian application is that you want to get married, the person must love the Lord. You don't want to marry somebody who doesn't love the Lord. You don't want to. You're not married. The man you want to marry, he drops you off in church and goes to watch Manchester Disunited. I mean, somebody said they disunited. I was watching TV recently. Oh, no, it was on Cosmo FM. They said Manchester who disunited them now? AC Milan. According to them, that AC Milan has disunited Manchester. That's what the guy on Cosmo said. So you want to go and watch the disunity caused by AC Milan? And look. There are little things you should take serious at the beginning. Are you getting my point? For example, this man said it very clearly. Look, I am working on the promise of God. I'm working according to the promise of God. I'm claiming an inheritance from God. If the woman is not willing to come, please forget her. When I was giving, people asked me several times, what exactly did you want in a wife? This question was asked me before I got married. I said, there are three things that are primary for me. And if I tell you, if I want to explain to you now, you will see how I came to them. I said, number one, I'm marrying a Christian. I don't think it's an important criterion to give the Lord, you know. It's taken for granted. I mean, I won't marry a Muslim. I'm going to the church, I'm going to the mosque. You know, that's out of the question. All right? Now, I must marry a Christian. Number one, that one is taken for granted. It's not just that you're a Christian, but that you must love, you know what I mean by love the Lord? And I don't mean love the Lord. You know, there are some people who love the Lord, they never leave church. In the morning, they're supposed to go to work at 8. By 6, they're in church. In fact, one pastor came to see me yesterday. He said that pastors have misled Christians. He said they are supposed to be out there taking over kingdoms for God. You make them come to church every day. You know, there are churches, there are homes. I don't want to mention it. There are churches that the way the women are taught, the way the people are taught in church is to make the women very bad wives and useless mothers. Of course, there's church on Sunday, which lasts from maybe 7 o'clock till 1 p.m. On Saturday, the woman is in the choir, come for choir practice. There's women's meeting on Tuesday, and then the Bible study on Thursday. And you look at it, this woman has a husband, she has a job maybe, and then she has children. Listen to me, you can't attend all those services and be pleasing to God. It's not possible. I know the impression in some of those I've been in the church before. I went to preach there, and some of the kind of questions. And our husbands, they know that when we are supposed to be in church, how come our husbands will still be demanding that this and I was looking at them. They didn't ask me to answer. I said, sister, please, on short days, don't go to church. It's not necessary. Because you fill the whole week with activity. Now let me leave that side. It's not right. Okay? Now, so me, I was never interested in I didn't want to marry a martyr. You know what they call a martyr? Yes, I wanted a Mary. There are two kinds of ministries amongst women that follow the Lord. There are those that are always doing the cooking. The Lord is there sharing revelation about the kingdom of God. They are there cooking. And he said, look at those women. They are not even helping us with cooking. Sit down there. The Lord is angry with you.
Now, once we cook, there is time for everything. Do you get my point? When the teaching of the kingdom is going on, it's not the time to cook. That's why, in fact, Elizabeth knows. Once we enter here to start praying, you can't buy CD there. You can't book CD. It's out of it entirely. Are you getting my point? I don't want any other activity going on if you are teaching the word. So for me, that was very, very crucial. Then I said number two. That was number one, that you love the Lord and it's shown by your attitude towards his word, not your church activity. Church activity never moved me. You are the leader of prayer band. I've heard of prayer warriors who are afraid of witches. I told the story before here now. A man, his wife died. He was a member of prayer warrior, and they all helped him for the funeral. So, and then they organized a reception for them to come and just say, for him to say thank you to them. They said, we won't go. The thing that killed his wife is probably still inside the house. I'm telling you. The friend who told me came, he said, Banky, this is prayer band in church. I have told you all this prayer of, hey, shako, 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 hey, blah, 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 blah. Listen, some of them can't cross the ceiling. It's worse when they are praying on ground floor with decking on top. Ah, that one, he can't even penetrate concrete. It's not noise. I mean, let me leave that, Lazar. Let's sit down on this, our matter, Joe. Let's sit down on this, on the real issue. Yeah, getting the point. Now, so, look, for me, that was very important, your attitude towards the word. I said, number two, now, listen, Abraham here is describing an inheritance. God has called him out of one land into another land. Now, for me personally, I knew that my job, I've told you before, my job is to instruct people with the word of God, all right, and to teach them in the ways of the kingdom. That's been my job from time. I've believed so much in prosperity, but I knew God didn't allow me, all right, to be the one taking over, like I told you earlier, running DSV out of business. Not me, but one of my men, believe me, one of my co-laborers, my stomach is sweet thinking about it. I knew that it's a matter of influence because God honors the priest that delivers the word. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Uh-huh, I know. Now, so I know that that's where we are going. I said, therefore, not only will my wife love the word, she must believe that I have the anointing to teach it. You are getting my point? The whole world may not think I'm anointed, but at least the person where I won't marry must think I'm anointed. I told you one thing just a few days ago. I said, well, there was one sister I met once. And did I say I met once? Yes, I met her essentially once. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know those kind of, your spirit is moving. Your spirit moved now. My spirit moved very well. I said, look, this sister, I suspect it's the Lord that is moving. It's suspicion, all right? So one day I went to go and pay her a visit. And then she asked me a question. I gave you the gist before. And I started, I was sharing the word, you know. I mean, if you didn't come with money like this man, what is his name? Abraham's servant. Uh-huh. You now I went with talents of gold and all of that. If you couldn't go with talents of gold, at least go with something. So I went with, when they went, now I said, what did you come with? I said, this one, I have it. He said, what do you think of this? I started sharing from Genesis. You know, the way we are here now, sharing Genesis. I went through the purpose of God at the beginning, the revelation to Abraham manifested in Moses and Israel, you know, and then the return of the judges, down to revelations in Psalms and the Messianic Psalms. You get my point? And how the major prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Daniel, all right, and Ezekiel began to expound some counsels of God, and the minor prophets supported with short prophecies, and then Malachi began to prophesy about the day to come. And then the day came in Matthew, I went down to Revelation. When I finished, sister said, look, that one now your own. Instantly, I said, God, you didn't send me here. I'm going home. No. That was when I just backslid. I checked that spirit again. The spirit had cooled down. I went back to me. When I finished Revelation like this, that is, I deliberately shared to impress the young woman. Bros. When the angel of the Lord doesn't go before you, hey, all your proposals, you say, we will build 27-story building. No governor will listen to you. All these business proposals you have been writing. It's because the angel of the Lord didn't go before you. Now, I mean, I didn't need prophecy again. I began to understand that actually that time, it was out of eating too much, maybe chewing gum or sweets, that my stomach was sweet and I was now seeing visions. You are getting what I'm saying? Because I knew the inheritance I was claiming. If you wouldn't come in there, then please, you are not of the Lord. That's what we are trying to say. And that's what Abraham told his servant. Look, you must not take this guy and take him back there. You are following my point in this thing I'm saying. So for me, that was very important. Of course, the third one was that, look, I couldn't stand disrespectful people. And I believe that God said that a woman, Sarah, honored her husband so much that he called her Lord. All right? And that I gave that as my three desires in my heart. I said after that, whether the woman is short or tall, fair or dark, fat or slim, beauty is created by satisfaction in the heart. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to say. The perception of beauty is from the satisfaction in the heart. If you like somebody, the person is fine. That's just it. You know? Once you like, I've seen people say, look at, maybe one of my friends, they looked at the picture of the lady who was dating, said, my God, I don't blame myself. Nah, this girl fine. I look. I kept quiet. You know, I still remember very well. One very useless picture like this. In fact, that's another thing. The picture was very, very bad. I remember the photo. No, this is where they give you. Now, cool gist, though. True gist, though. It really happened, like I said, though. Oh, the Lord is good. Now, let me just continue what I'm saying. So, you see, the point here is that, that thing is created from satisfaction in the heart. Are you getting my point? For those of you who study psychology, you've heard of Oedipus complex, all right? That's the genesis of it. They said that it's based on, of course, the story of the Greek story of Oedipus that killed the father and married the mother. So the psychologists described that they noticed that young boys who are very close to their mothers tend to marry wives that look like their mother. And that's very, very true. And people say that, what's the reason? I said, the reason is simple. Because of the satisfaction of the love that they experience from their mothers. Their mother's features have been equated with beauty. So when he sees somebody that looks like the mother, in his heart, all right, something rises up towards that person. It's not as if he wants to marry a replica of his mother. That's what psychologists try to say. No, the way it is that the picture of beauty in his heart has been created by the affection from his mother. Are you getting my point? After all, what was fine, I remember very well, in the 70s, is not what is fine today. Those days, you wanted to marry, you are in Calabar area, you had to go to fattening rooms. But now, you go to linen rooms. They shrink you for your wedding gown. No be so. The girl make the wedding gown, after that, she no go chop again. Say why? I must fit into the wedding gown. Squeeze his stomach like that. You can hardly walk. It is fine now. So beauty is not absolute. There's a reason why we think some things are fine. So once you have those things, what becomes fine is just your personal perception. All right. Now, so the point I'm making is that this guy had those things set. This guy is not going back. Now, having put all these things together, I brought out an issue here that it was God that appointed Rebecca. All these other things of fleecing. Nobody started this by talking about fleecing and all of that. Now, having satisfied, for me personally, let me just conclude that. Having satisfied all those things, what is it the will of God? Two things decide whether it's the will of God after that. One, whether I actually feel like proposing to the woman. Because if I don't feel like marrying somebody, I won't marry the person. No matter how much I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. No matter how much you fit all the picture I've painted, if in my heart I just don't desire it. And that's what the Bible calls the spirit of a man, actually. People don't understand that. Because there's something inside you that just, everything looks all right, but I don't want it. You are getting the point. Everything looks, in fact, this happened to me before in recent times. Everything looks not all right. But I told my wife, I'm sorry, I just can't pull back from this endeavor. There's something in me just pushing me on. Nobody can teach you that. It's a personal experience. Are you getting my point? And then secondly, what makes it the will of God? No matter how willing the will of God is in that willing situation, if the girl says no is no, fine out. There's nothing you can do. Because I have prayed. In fact, when I was dreaming, I went to the third heavens. And in the third heavens, I beheld the earth. And I saw the plan of God as he orchestrated the events. And I saw it, that she is marrying me. But you have asked her now, she has said no. I said, I'm going to pray. Wait, pray until she gets married. As soon as she gets married, you have to forget it. You are getting the point of this is I'm saying. Now, it's very important we understand these things. So, in this guy's case, was he fleecing? No, I don't believe that. The correct criteria has been set. He said, clearly we have seen that he has explained to us that it is God that chose the wife. So he said, show mercy to my master. He said, and then by this I will know the person you have appointed for your servant Isaac. Very important. Now he now went ahead and then he carried out what he said. The young woman came. Verse 16. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin, and no man had had relations with her. And she went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your jar. And the woman just quickly responded, drink, and not only will I drink, I will also draw for your camels until they are finished drinking. Now, this was exactly a confirmation of what he prayed for earlier. You can see that. Now, in fact, it was as if the young woman heard him. All right? Now, please, notice something. Did she speak by her own will? I don't know. Maybe, listen, because there are different ways this thing works. Maybe he discovered what he would say, what she would say. And that was what his spirit perceived. I don't know whether I get my point. Some of these things that we think we are thinking up, they're actually revelations from God. I said something earlier. When we talk about the all-wise God, you can't think ahead of him. This man, what is his name now? Just to bring another side to it. Demo Shakarian. Read that, happiest people on earth. When he used to see this woman, this young girl, over the fence. So, in their culture, they don't mix. Males and females don't meet. All right? They don't mix. So he told his father, the father talked to the father of the girl, and then they finally arranged some wedding ceremony and everything, and then that was the day they finally met, during the ceremony. Ah, that's not right. It is not wrong. Do you get my point? It fitted them. It won't fit you. You are not from Armenia, and you were not born again, and all your culture from your mother's womb. Do you get my point? Those guys had a culture of Christianity. You have to get the point. Some of you have the culture of worshiping this. The guy has another culture. Between your in-laws and, you know, the two families, they have nothing in common. The only thing that brought them together is the gospel in the heart of the two children who got born again in their 20s. Now, you understand that it can't work like that. You are getting what I'm saying. Now, but in their situation, it worked. And finally, they left the man and the young lady alone to meet for the first time, to talk. And before that, he had recited, you know, he had composed... poems. How beautiful thou art, my beloved. How beautiful thou art. Amongst the lilies and all that one I just. As soon as he saw her, all the poems vanished from his stomach. That was it. He said he had rehearsed this thing for days. Then finally he had to say something. So he said, I believe that the Lord wants us to be together. And the young lady looked at him and said, those were the exact words I prayed that my husband would say to me first. You are getting the point I'm making. All the poem, I said, you can't outthink God. All this one, if you are thinking the one that's not the will of God, it will escape. The one that is the will of God is the one that will come forth. So I'm bringing out this thing that it's not a matter of pleasing, all right? It's you do as occasion serves you under certain circumstances, and God will fulfill what you have said. Are you getting my point? Now let's just continue. The man had a confirmation, of course, because once the lady said this, it was still important that she most certainly should be of the lineage of Abraham. And then she asked, and what the story we read earlier in chapter 22, he confirmed it. I'm the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor. Nahor was the brother of Abraham. So the man that just knew that, good. I have had it made. And then when he now went down to the house, he repeated, they said, okay, now, please, let me just say this. The man had money, plenty of it, okay? And he went just as he was. And that's how the gospel people like us preach. Are you getting my point? He was the servant of a very wealthy man. So when he went with plenty of gold. In life, there is nothing wrong with being a rich person. Do you follow my point? If you are rich, don't, look, coming to America is a gist. Do you remember? It's not a gist. And now go and pretend to be poor that you might get a good wife. Let me tell you the truth. It's deception. You won't get a good wife like that. I understand the logic behind it. You don't want a woman to marry you for your money. Listen, if you are a child of God, no woman can marry you for your money. So I'm trying to explain something here. You see, the guy went just the way he was. There was no pretense about it. He was a servant of a very wealthy man. And as soon as he saw the lady, he took plenty of jewelry and put on her wrist. In verse 37, when he saw the ring, that's Laban, who went ahead later to terrorize her son. When he saw the ring and the bracelet on his sister's wrist, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, he said, "What? This is what the man said to me." And he went to the man, and behold, he was standing by the camels at the spring. Now, that's not actually what I want to bring up. The point I want to bring out is that later on, when he went into their house, they said, "Let us eat." He said, "No, please, I will not eat until I've spoken why I came." He narrated everything, and by it proved to them that that thing was the will of God. Are you getting my point? And please, there's some point I want to make about that, but I'm kind of in a hurry now. What I want to say is simply is this. You see, when you say something is the will of God, all right, and you're walking, and I'm doing this because God said do it, let me say this. To you, you have to be fully persuaded. I don't know whether you are getting my point. That's why this guy could recite, because there was a process of full persuasion that came to him. He could tell them, "I know it is God." He said, "How do you know?" Number one, my master said this to me, and when I came, I prayed this prayer, and this happened just as I have said, and then it turned out that this woman was a descendant, that it was a relative of Abraham. So I knew that God has sent his angel ahead of me and has prospered my journey. Let me give myself as a practical example. When I was coming to Enugu then, listen, this is interesting because I knew in my heart, I don't know how I knew, but I just felt that when I finished my residency training, that the place where I'm supposed to be would be dictated by, I just suspected strongly, I won't say I knew, I had a strong suspicion that it would be dictated by where I get an appointment as a university lecturer and a hospital consultant. That's how the job goes, actually. It's a single job like that. Now, so my friends, now I said, "Why don't you come to Enugu?" It had never crossed my mind until they mentioned it. Are you getting the point? Then another guy, if I didn't even remember that, it was one man came who God arranged that he stayed with me when he came for a course earlier. He now heard that I had passed my exams and I had just gotten married. So he came just to say, "Hello, how are you doing?" And I said, "Please, why don't you come? We need a pathologist in Enugu." Are you getting the point? And then I said, "Like what? Enugu? I had only been to Enugu once in my life. And before then, I had only crossed the Niger twice. Three times. Like if you add the one that I came to Enugu, then two times I went to Niger. All right? Once I went with a friend, went to buy stuff. And then once I went alone to buy some stuff at the head bridge there. All right? Now, apart from that, I never crossed the Niger. You get my point? So it didn't even cross my mind. I had no desire for Enugu because I don't think about it. You only desire what you think about. I don't even think about the place. But these their ideas started bringing some issues to my mind. And I began to feel like going there. Then there was one brother once. I had not seen him for a while. His name is Prebo. And Prebo saw me and, "Pastor Banky, how now? Long time we were just distant." And then without any prompting from my side, without anything, I didn't tell him. He just started talking. He said, "Do you know Enugu is a very nice place?" Now listen to me. The guy had no way of knowing I was considering going to Enugu. He said, "Do you know Enugu is a very nice place? It's a very nice and quiet town. I'm sure you will like Enugu. You know, we're just talking." I look like, "Are you talking to me?" I still remember we were in front of RMO3 in Luth. Now, why did I tell the story? If you ask me now, all right, how are you sure it was the will of God that you came here? I have many stories to tell you. I've just given you a bit on why I'm sure that it was the will of God that I came to Enugu. Apart from the fact that I'm already seeing the fruit of it. Are you getting the point I'm making? All right. So I'm just going to explain that thing about the will. I don't believe that it's guesswork. To the person who's walking in that, he's persuaded concerning what he's doing. Please, I hope you are getting my point. All right. Now, this is the last thing I want to highlight, and then we will leave here. Of course, as you know, they agreed to give this girl out in marriage to this man. And in verse 57, before 57, they accepted. The man said, "Please, I want to quickly go back." Then in 57, they said, "Let us ask her what she wants." And I believe that's still very important, even if marriages are arranged. Look, listen, there's nothing, let me say this again. There's nothing wrong with arranged marriages if they fulfill the criteria of God. Do you understand my point? Last of all, however, is you ask each person, do you want to marry this person? And the person says no. That is when the evil in arranged marriages begin. Are you getting my point? I believe this is the perfect order. He said, okay, yeah, my father knew his father, and this and that, and then I knew he's a Christian, man, you know, and then they finally arranged for people to meet. The question at the end of the day, do you like him and want to marry him? If the answer is yes, arranging a marriage is good. If finally the last day you meet, the answer is no. Anybody that wants to now compel any of the parties is now working against God at that point in time. Are you getting the point I'm making? All right? If, look, people can recommend people. It was when I was much younger that I felt like those things were very archaic. Now I know there's nothing archaic in it. But at the end of the day, oh, no matter how much your father prayed or your mother interceded, all right? Finally, you met the guy and you decided you didn't like him. Listen, you owe nobody any explanation. Anybody wants to now compel you at that time is the one working against God. If it is God, let him fight for himself. I don't know whether you get my point. If you think it's the will of God, then let him persuade the lady. I believe this is so crucial. He asked her simply, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. You can't force anybody to marry anybody. All right, but this is what I want to bring out. They sent her away. No, verse 59. Thus they sent away their sister and her nurse with Abraham's servant and his men. Now, please notice this. This is what I want to emphasize. They blessed Rebecca. From her household, she was blessed. They said to her, may you, our sister, become thousands of ten thousands, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. He said, then Rebecca arose with her mates, and they mounted the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebecca and departed. Now, let me just read the rest of the story. The next time, I will continue. But I will highlight what I want to say here. He said, before I read the rest of the story, let me just say what I want to say. Now, I emphasize this for you to know that her father blessed her. She didn't have a father then. It was her brother, all right, that was acting, you know, there and other relatives. They blessed her from her husband's house. And later on, we find out that they blessed her with fertility by words. But for the next 20 years, she did not conceive. Rebecca married Isaac, and for 20 years, she did not conceive. We'll discuss that one next time. Until the day that Isaac turned and entreated the Lord for his wife Rebecca's sake. I believe when you are getting married, men of God should bless you. That's very good. But, I was blessed. That was very good, all right? But before they had learned that there's no blessing on your wife until you, the husband, blesses her. We'll discuss that one next week. But I want to just explain this here. That they blessed her before she left home. They did. But the result of that was not felt for 20 years. Until one day, Isaac entreated the Lord. The day I read it, I said, why was he sleeping all this while? Maybe he did it out of desperation one day. You know, it happens. You have been. That's why God pushes you to an end once in a while. You won't do what is right until you become desperate. Are you getting my point? Now that one, we should notice that. Because next week I will explain this principle on the divine order. How God channels the blessing into the house. Alright? But because of time now, let me just begin to round up. Let's read the rest of the story. So now Isaac had come from going to Beelahiro. Please, there's one long word there, alright? For he was living in the Negev. Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward evening, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, camels were coming. It's important that the man used to meditate. So Rebecca lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel. She said to the servant, who is that man walking in the field to meet us? And the servant said, he is my master. Then she took her veil and covered herself. The servant told Isaac all that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. Thus Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. The man was really having attached to his mother, you understand? And he took that woman to comfort, and I mean, you know, that's the thing. When when a woman married, who was very, very attached to her father, marries a good husband, the father is really very, very disappointed. Because she won't believe that. Ah, he won't believe that. This girl used to like me. But now, anything I say, no, my husband didn't say it like that. Ah, okay. It's called the expulsive power of a new affection. Those are the words of Oswald G. Smith. It says the expulsive power of a new affection. Really, actually, that's one of the ways by which God comforts people, actually. God comforts people like that. You lose something, eventually God gives you something else that takes away your attention from that which you have lost. All right, so let me just stop there. All right, what I want to bring out here, maybe next week, I don't want to start again now because of our time. I want to explain a few things about the fact that she dismounted from the camel and showed, when she discovered that that was her husband, and I will explain that one next time. Because there's something that's natural with people. If you're a very nice lady, you know, and then there's this man that, you know, you're very nice to him. Ah, good morning, sir. Everything's very, 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 very nice. And then the man begins to show interest. You know, you guys know what I'm saying? And then finally, you guys are now getting along very well. I don't know why. I've seen this every time. I don't know the reason why. Well, I think the lack of instruction. Women think that is the time to become very disrespectful to that person, that after all, we now have something going. Let me tell you, it is very wrong. Listen, this is my order. I believe very strongly. If he was your mate before and you were doing high, the day you say, yes, I will marry you, or yes, I do, then you take the path of Rebecca and begin to show the man respect. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? No, you know, a lot of times we turn things upside down in life. And, you know, it happens all the time. And do you know the interesting thing? I've been saying, I believe that my revelation of marriage is from God. It's not from man. Because some of these things, I never saw them done until I started teaching them. And he was saying, no, go away. Yeah, you never mind. That's why you're talking about nonsense. I've been teaching this, some of them, before, while I was in university. When I was not even anywhere. I married I graduated in 1991. I married in 1999. 8 years after I graduated was when I got married. Yet when I was in school, I was already teaching some of these principles. Are you getting my point? I believe very strongly that we'll discuss some of these things maybe when we get down to our... Well, don't let's sit all the time on marriage matters. All right? I'll finish up that issue of Isaac and Rebecca next time. I don't want to... We'll go into chapter 25 and chapter 26. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good.